This guy that he's talking about inside of us, we call him the strong man. And when we think about him being the strong man, it's something we all have to struggle with. And last week we began to deal with that strong man, and we found out how that he had to find peace inside of him. And you know, heart conditions really kind of slip up on so many people. We've got those in our church family who have heart conditions now and who are going to be facing surgery, procedure. But that's the physical world. If you look even deeper inside of us, you find this strong man that's in each of us. And yes, that man is strong. But even that strong man inside of us needs to get stronger. And the way to understand that man, it's almost like he's got to go through and take some tests. I mean, like when you take a stress test, or for the heart, you take many different kind of tests. Sometimes Jesus Christ gives to us a test. And he does it in a different way. It doesn't hurt. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it really kind of gets close to us, kind of under our skin, because that man that's inside of us starts to struggle. Well, this morning, we're going to take such a test, and we're going to take five tests, because we're going to seek to determine the condition of the heart. And as we deal with this, I asked a question in our Bible study. By the way, if you want to have a good time, come on Wednesday night. If you can get inside, it's getting more people in there, but we have some challenging times. I asked the question, what is the unpardonable sin? And you should have heard the answers. I wasn't going to teach on it that night, but I knew I was today. And all of a sudden, it was just kind of laying a little trap there, but it wasn't a trap, it was a test. And the reason why, because as we go through God's Word, it's kind of layer upon layer, precept upon precept. And as we go through these different layers, you don't leave a layer off. You say, okay, Lord, let's peel this layer off and let's see what it says and let's take the next layer. And so in the layers, now he's coming in. We're looking at the strong man. We're looking at the heart. We're seeing some tests. And let's begin in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to begin with verse 31. In fact, I'll read the entire text that we're going to be looking at this morning, beginning with verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto him. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let's take a test this morning. This is a test. It's only a test for the next... Boop. Okay. All right. We're going to be taking a test. Let's start out with, what is the heart? What in the heart can cross the line? Have you ever just stopped for a moment? Is there a line in which a person can cross and God's Spirit will say, no more? It's called the sin test. The sin test. In other words, speaking against the Holy Spirit, ultimately refusing Jesus Christ, is known commonly as the unpardonable sin. 1 John 5:15 and 16 says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. You hear that? There is a sin unto death. And I do not say that he should pray for it. The line's drawn. And when he crosses that line, no matter how much weeping or wailing or gnashing of teeth, the door's closed. How can this be? How can this be? Well, let's ask a few real pertinent questions. What can be forgiven? The other night when we asked the question in our group, what is the unpardonable sin? One said, death. Death. I mean, if you kill somebody, then that's unpardonable. Well, wait a minute. If you look back into the Old Testament, you see Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. What did Moses do before he killed a man? And yet, he entered into the promised land too. Eventually, not in the life, but in the death, he entered in. What about, another one might have said, what about adultery? If a person commits adultery and follows it up with murder, then that's unpardonable. Well, wait a minute. The man after God's own heart was named David. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and later had her husband killed. And yet David was the man after God's own heart. So it's not adultery. Another one said, might have said in there, well, if you deny Jesus, then that will not be forgiven. Well, wait a minute. Remember Simon Peter, when he got under pressure, one night, he denied Jesus Christ three times. And yet, Simon Peter went to heaven. So it's not denying the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute then. It must be persecuting the church. That's what it is. God won't forgive that. Well, who wrote most of the New Testament? Paul did. And yet Paul started out his spiritual journey persecuting the church, even having people killed. And yet Paul ended. So therefore, as you study through the Scripture, ultimately, what cannot be forgiven? It is speaking in opposition to the Holy Spirit. In other words, an ultimate and final rejection of the call of the Holy Spirit for someone to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. If it's closed, if it's slandered, it shall not be forgiven in this world nor in the world to come. And that's the one to which John said, there is a sin unto death. I do not say, pray for that sin. Well, as we begin to look about this, there's a problem. You have a heart problem when you deny access to the Holy Spirit, calling you to accept by faith Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your heart, be the Lord of your life. That's a heart problem. Therefore, there is a sin test. Well, let's capture three facts in understanding this principle. Fact number one is we don't live forever. Now, that's not too shocking to you. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says there's a time to be born and a time to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Y'all like stories. Sometimes you come across a good story. It's from the eastern part of the world, eastern lore. It was one time this servant went up to his master and said, Master, I have seen death, and death looked at me. He was there in the city of Basra. I saw him. He was in Basra. Master, please, give me the fastest horse that you have. So the master gave the servant the fastest horse that he had, and he went riding off, and he went to Baghdad. Next day, the master went into town, and to Basra. And he saw death and said, Death, why did you scare my servant so bad? Death said, I didn't mean to scare him so bad. In fact, I was surprised to see him because I've got an appointment with him in Baghdad tomorrow. Only a story. But the fact is this, each of us have an appointment with death. We don't know when it is. I don't know when it is. Only God knows that. But the fact is, we're not going to be here forever. Number two fact. there's no second chance. There is no second chance. Ecclesiastes 11:3 says, "And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be." Wherever the tree falls, folks, that's it. Wherever you die, whenever you die, whenever you close your eyes, folks, that's it. Don't you like the old country preachers? I can remember, some of y'all don't, I mean the good old hellfire and brimstone. I can remember reading this story about an old country preacher that came along and he said one day, this very faithful woman, faithful to her Lord, came to church and said, he said to her, "Ma'am, where's your husband?" And she said, "Oh, he's sitting by the fire." Back in that period of time, they used to have, in the bars, they would have a fireplace there, and they'd all gather around it, and they would do whatever they do in bars, okay? Whatever that is. Anyhow, he was sitting by the fire. Well, all of a sudden, he came along, and it came prayer time. And he said to her, "Honey, where is your husband?" And she said, "Well, he's sitting by the fire." Well, it came a little bit later, came prayer meeting time. Said, "Honey, where is your husband?" "Oh, he's sitting by the fire." Well, she went on to choir practice. And somebody at choir practice said, "Honey, where's your husband?" And he said, "He's sitting by the fire." Well, the course of time came, and the man died. And when the preacher stood up, he said, "The facts, mister, just tell me the facts." He said, "And when the critter died, when the old man died, the preacher got up and he said, 'All of us are wondering where he is. Well, if he's likened to him, he's sitting by the fire.'" I don't recommend that. I don't, you know, at a funeral service, okay? But I can just tell you what that old man did, what that preacher did. Because, you know, sometimes that's the way it is when we begin to see the character and all. Sometimes you ever get in a jam? There's this preacher. I'm not a preacher, I'm sorry. It's a doctor. There's a doctor in Dallas, Texas that had a patient that came grumbling all the time. Every time he met that patient was like, "Oh, it's so hot outside. It's hot. It's hot. I mean, the summer's hot. Every time he saw him, he was talking about how hot it was." Well, on one August day, this man's wife walked in and saw the doctor. And he said, "Well," he looked at her and said, is your husband hot today?" And the nurse called him outside and said, "Doctor, didn't you hear? Her husband died yesterday." You know, I can imagine. We kind of get ourselves in some situations. Well, anyhow, fact number three. Our hearts harden and our wills paralyze. Our hearts harden and our wills paralyze. You refuse, and all of a sudden, one day, you cannot accept. How does that work? If you were to take right now, if I were to blindfold you right now with your eyes, in just a few days, when they took the blindfold off your eyes, you'd probably not be able to see because the muscles and all in your eyes would atrophy. If I were to cover your ears up where you could not hear, in just a short period of time, when they took the wrappings off of your ears, you would not hear because your muscles atrophy. If I took your arm and put it in a sling and wrapped it up, in just a matter of a short period of time, when you took the sling off, you would not be able to raise your arm because the muscles would atrophy. And that's the way it is with man. If for a period of time we just back off and we say no and no and no and no, and then all of a sudden we can't say yes. The Lord Jesus said, or God said in His Word in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." In Genesis 7:16, it talked about when Moses brought all the animals into the ark. And the Bible says, and God closed the door. In Romans 1:24, the Bible says, "Wherefore God gave them up." In Hebrews 12, 17, the Bible says, speaking of Esau, who sold his birthright, he said, "For he know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." What happens? What happens? There's a sin test. That if a man crosses the line, it's a point of no return. Now, when is that? I don't know. I don't know. But what is the nature of the heart? Let's go one step further, okay? Some of the tests are not quite as hard as that one. What is the nature of the heart? What is the fruit of the heart? In verse 33, the Bible says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." A tree. Let's look at what type of fruit and all are you producing right now? If you looked at it, in other words, what I wanted to do this morning, I couldn't come up with two treasure chests. I can't get the words out this morning. Treasure chest. Did I get it out right that time? Okay. I wanted to have two of them up here, and I wanted to reach down in one and show you a treasure that was good and then another one that was bad. But the principle's still the same. The fruit. What type of fruit? What type of fruit should you be producing right now? It would be found in Galatians 5, 22, 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Hey, that's the kind of fruit that we need to be producing. The Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's the kind of fruit that you need to be producing. But what happens, let's say, if some of you adults come up and we have two teens right here, and all of a sudden, old Paul says, "Man, I'm not going to play on Scott's team. No, I'm not going to do that." And I might say to Paul, "Why aren't you going to play on Scott's team?" And you might say, "Well, Scott's got cooties." And so Paul's not going to play on that team. Well, what kind of fruit would Paul be producing? Bad fruit. That's exactly right. Because if you were to say about somebody, "Oh, I'm not going to play on their team," that's not good fruit. That's evil fruit. And so therefore, as we begin to look, people don't like to say no. People don't like to feel rejection. Therefore, we need to produce good fruit. Test number 3. What pours out of a man's heart? Bible teaches us in verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye be evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What is this? I call it the lip test. When I thought lip test, I could imagine somebody say, "Well, that's a kissing test." I just had to fill out the form right here. The lip test. What is going to come through your lips? But in reality, it's what's in the abundance of your heart. The greater overrides the lesser. Evil men cannot help but speak evil things. Whatever's in the heart, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 says, "And be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." What are our lips saying? I mean, what's coming out of our mouths? Words? Absolutely. What's kind of flowing out? In other words, today, all I have to say is health care. Boom, and all of a sudden words start coming out. All I'd have to say is Democrat, Republican, boom, and word starts coming out. You know what? What's inside of us? If I said, go dogs, boom, words start coming out. Okay, I know, Jared, I know. Word starts coming out. You know, whatever is inside of us is going to start coming out. For whatever is in the abundance of our heart, well, let's begin to say, what are we speaking about? We live in the greatest nation in the world. And yet are we speaking good things, powerful things, are yet inside of us? Is it so crumbled up because of corruption and dispute and maybe lies and untruths? Or you hear this side, you hear that side, and your mind just wants to go crazy. But what does God want to come out of our hearts, our minds? Well, speak to yourself in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Wow. Isn't that different? Isn't that different? What's coming out? What are we filled with? Test number four. What defines the heart? In reality, what are the treasures of the heart? The chosen treasures define the character of the work. Verse 35 says, And a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. So, what are we looking at right here? What are the good things treasured up inside of us? This I do know. That for believers, you have a gift of the Spirit. And allow the gift of the Spirit to flow out through you so that when you make decisions, when you do things, when you are making plans in life, what are you reaching back into? If you're reaching back into the treasure of good things, guess what's going to be produced? Good things. If you reach back into the treasures of evil things, guess what's going to be produced? Evil things. What is your treasure? What helps you to make decisions today? What helps you make communication with people? Where do you reach back when you want to communicate ideas, thoughts, helps, good deeds? What will help you to reach over and to go across? Well, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7:12-7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given the spirit of wisdom, another knowledge, another the gifts of healing, to another gifts of workings of miracles, to prophecies, discerning of spirits, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But all of these work as one, dividing to every man as he severally will. In other words, God has brought us all together for one. I tell you what, let's just see how that works. Larry, let's go ahead and roll it, okay? Y'all bear with me just a few more minutes. I want you to see how many of these pieces, if you've got a good treasure and you reach down into that treasure, what can happen?
There's a call going out across the land in every nation. A call to all who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ. A call to true humility, to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross at any price. Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a hostile foreign land. The message we're proclaiming is repentance and forgiveness, the offer of salvation to the dying race of man. God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows across the street or around the world. The mission still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. As a candle is consumed by the passion of the flame, spilling light unsparingly throughout a darkened room, let us burn to know Him deeper than our service flaming bright. We'll radiate His passions and blaze with holy light.
Holy light. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows across the street, all around the world. The mission still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows across the street or around the world.
They passed the sin test. Kentucky Baptists, just like you guys. They passed the fruit test because we saw what they were producing. They passed the treasure test because they reached down and they took up what they had to help other people. The last test is the word test. The word test. And this is the final one where the scripture says in verse 36, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words they shall be justified, and by thy words they shall be condemned." The test. The words test. When you really break it down, it's what you say. Nobody else's words. Your words. Your words one day when you stand before the King and He presses the button and the recorder starts, it's your words. And if your words have accepted Jesus Christ, there's eternal life. And if your words have rejected, then there is death. But our words, we've got to speak them. A few years ago in Louisville, Kentucky, the seminary used to be in an area close to downtown. And right across from the seminary, there was this large apartment building. And all of a sudden, one day, it caught on fire. And the fire trucks were there, and they had evacuated all the people that they could. crowd started gathering around watching this large apartment building burn. To their fear, on the top floor, a lady came out on the balcony and said, "Help me! Help me! Please save me! Help me!" Immediately, the firemen gathered together their nets and they spread out their nets. And they looked up to the woman and said, "We'll help you. Jump. We will catch you." And she stood up there and she looked down and said, "Please help me." And she went back inside to where the fire was. A few minutes later, she came out and said, "Help me, help me, save me." And they said, "Jump, jump. We will help you. Please jump and we will catch you." Moments later, she went back in to where the fire was and she never returned. Life was there, but she had to jump. Life is for us, but we have to confess. The Bible says that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But there must be confession. Jesus said, "If you will confess me before my Father, if you will confess me, then I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you do not confess me, then neither will I confess you." What does that mean? That means each of us must, with our words, confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me ask you today, have you spoken those words? Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If not, I'm going to ask you in a few moments, come down front and say, "Brother Robert, I want to confess Jesus. I want to be saved." The woman, she had to jump. You've got to speak. And let your words be, "Jesus, I accept you." Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, each of us have had to take many tests. And Father, as we wake in the morning, these tests are still for us. Help us, Lord, to look deep into our treasure box and to see what is there. Help us, Lord, to look into the roots of our stock and see what kind of fruit is being produced. Help us, Lord, to deal with the sin issue and choose Jesus. Help us, Lord, to speak with our words, "Jesus is Lord." And Father, today, people can enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they must confess. They must confess Jesus Christ. So Lord, I'm praying your Holy Spirit in this hour will call many to you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing as families come together, as individuals come and give your life to Jesus Christ. Will you confess Jesus with your mouth this day and say, "Jesus is Lord. I know for certain that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to heaven." But you must confess Jesus. Let's sing together as people come to